This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia. And from boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. You bet $100, you get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions do apply, and we're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party. This Saturday, sweat out your bets and win prizes with Ryan, Sean, and Colby over on YouTube.com/SportsGamblingPodcast. Plus, make sure to fill out our listener survey for a chance to win a $100 SGPN gift card. Just go to SportsGamblingPodcast.com/survey. All right, D-Gens, welcome back. It's the Valero Texas Open Outright Betting Show. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer, and our boy, Matt Gannon. What's up, Matt?
What's going on? Hopefully this doesn't turn into a Masters preview show, because that's how like everyone wants it to turn into, because we're just our heads there. But yeah, there's money to be made this week, and we will make money this week. So excited to be here. It's like a every 2.5 month thing I'm on the pod, so yep. Happy to be back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll definitely talk a little Masters. But yeah, I want to focus on some of the bets that are being made this week. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, this is the forgotten event, but you're right, man. Fucking, there's money to be made. It's still it's an okay tournament to watch. I mean, anytime you can get a 200-to-1 winner, like, yeah, let's fucking go.
Yeah, and like, I mean, we're not going to have the NCAA tournament in the afternoons in order to contend with it either. So, I mean, the Final Fours are at night, so it's going to be just golf in the afternoon all weekend, you know, seeing if anybody can get that last-minute exemption into the Masters, sweating our bets. I actually like my betting card this week. I had a tough time kind of picking and choosing who I wanted to include on there. I have a lot of guys, actually, but we'll go over in a little bit. So, before we get to it, though, why don't we rewind back to the WGC match play? So, Matt, I asked this of Capper last night. Was there anything that happened at the match play that might have maybe changed your opinion about who you maybe want to bet at the Masters? Like, anybody pique your interest based on what happened?
What I took out of the WGC match play, well, first of all, it's one of the hardest events to handicap, and that's just each and every year. It's a luck box, and like, it's just lucky. So I'm not really worried about not hitting a winner there. Congrats on Burns, by the way. Great hit, guys. Great hit.
As he said, you luck boxed into it.
Tough event to handicap, so it's great winner there. What I took out of it is I think Patrick Cantlay is winning a major, because he hit the ball so well and did not make any putts like all weekend long or weekend. So yeah. I think Patrick Cantlay, and I know he likes majors come around. He always tends to get hyped up and then maybe barely make the cut. So I might fall into the trap. Maybe it's a different year. There's a lot of live guys not here or not at the same level as they were. So I think Patrick Cantlay will win a major this year. That's my bold prediction.
All right. So let me piggyback off that a little bit with two things that actually I think validate that stance right there. So number one, I did the majors preview back with Andy Lack last in December. And, we did one on our own show too. One thing I said is that like guys who tend to win like their first major or like maybe come out of nowhere, they had to like contend at least kind of recently. Now, Patrick Cantlay finally got that check mark, you know, when he was actually kind of relevant at the Open Championship last year. Maybe that gave him a little bit of confidence, the fact that he's not going to win the Masters. And if you actually look at that weather report, I think this is a Patrick Cantlay type weather report. It doesn't look like it's going to be a lot of wind. It's going to be really soft, really warm too. So he played well in 2019. That had kind of a similar weather report when Tiger won. It was kind of warm, muggy. So, you know, Cantlay contended there too. He had a share of the lead. So, you know what? I mean, I'm probably going to be, it's going to be tough to kind of figure out who I want to bet for the Masters. But, and you're right, by the way. Data Golf actually estimated his tee to green numbers, and he looked great in every category.
Really?
Right. Yeah. So I got him gaining in four matches, about four strokes tee to green per round.
All right, that was kind of an eye test thing. I didn't really look at, because the stats are like wonky from the match play. So he just looked like he had so many looks. I watched a lot of it, had so many looks. So looks, the best stats back it up. So that makes me feel even better about it.
Where does he fit best at?
What do you mean fit best at?
LA Country Club?
LACC or Augusta, I'd say.
I think Augusta for sure.
Yeah,
especially if it's gonna be pretty like benign weather conditions and soft, like the guy can just kind of plod around, fire at pins, roll a bunch of putts. He's great putting on bent grass, so
yeah.
Although I think at the Masters he struggled putting there for whatever reason.
He has. What's his best finish there?
Well, he finished ninth back in 2019, and he had a share of the lead.
Shit. Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. So, all right, why don't we transition to Valero? So, you know, Matt, I want to ask you about, like, your betting card strategy this week. I mean, I, you know, some guys might see, like, with the Masters next week, maybe you want to leave a bit, little bit of money on the table, save for next week. Or did you just, you know, did you decide to just put together your full betting card, you know, with full unit allocation, or do you scale back a little bit with anticipation? Yeah. Of, all right, I want to, you know, want some money for next week.
Whether this is the Masters or the damn Corrales, I will be risking my same amount every single week because a winner is a winner and they all pay the same. And I'm actually going to fire off like a big, like a important tweet on like Monday morning come Masters week, just talking about like you're going to see a bunch of handicappers who aren't in the golf space betting golf this week. And they're going to take three guys under 10 to 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like you'll have a good chance of hitting that week, but like, don't like hype that up. That's not how you should bet golf if you're doing it on a weekly basis. If you're doing it one time for the Masters, more power to you. Have fun. But like that's not what should like you should be tailing and should be hyping up week after week. So, but back to that question, normal betting card for me, just same as every week. Outrights top fives only, 2.5 units on each. So pretty straightforward.
Like it.
Nice. Like it. So Capper, you're going to be looking forward to any narratives that come flying out of guys who don't handicap golf, like what happened at the U.S. Open with Fitzpatrick?
Wait, that guy, covered golf, wasn't it? Wasn't that fucking Rappaport?
I don't know. I'm not on Twitter. I don't see what I just assume any the NBA, fucking, you know, like
fucking irons.
Handicapper wants to say, all right, I can tell golf. Oh, it's Fitzpatrick guy. He won here. Did you only won here and won here?
What are you doing? This is back to back, just trying to irritate me.
I love to bring up bad trauma memories of golf for you. It just gets you really irritated, you know?
Such a dick. People are going to come out of the woodwork. You're right. Like, you have to be selective. Follow the same fucking guys that you normally follow. People who don't cover golf on a fucking daily basis, like, they don't fucking know. They know the same people your Aunt fucking Joe knows. You know what I mean? Like, forget about it.
There you go. I mean, betting on golf is so easy, right?
Super
anyone,
easy.
Anyone can do it.
Anybody can.
All right. While we take a quick break, and then we will get right to who we bet outright for the Valero Texas Open.
All right, let's go. Well, listen, WinBet is the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WinBet is now active in Massachusetts, still don't have it in Florida, and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WinBet Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During the WinBet Win Hour, Mackey games of the week will have better odds. And on WinBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is still here, so many ways to bet on the big dance. You sign up today, you receive a special offer. You bet $100, you get $100. It is limited to state availability. And of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 in free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you got to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WinBet app. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, have them call 1-800-522-4700. And listen, if you guys are looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at the Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world, you can win a 3-night stay at the Circa Las Vegas to hang with the boys. The contest is completely free to enter, and just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfbody. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using promo code SGP15. And I'll save the last ad read for when my dogs aren't barking. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll take over then. So we have some inventory we need to offload from the Golf Gambling Podcast Warehouse. We have a TaylorMade Stealth 2 driver in inventory that we want to get to you guys. We want some help, though. So we're asking you to do just three little things for us. If you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, if you can give us a Spotify review, and you can give us an Apple review as well, you'll be eligible to win a TaylorMade Stealth 2 driver. We'll announce it on Twitter. And anybody who's already done that, by the way, you're already entered in that contest. So fear not if you've already done it. You're going to be included. So go ahead, subscribe to our YouTube channel, give us a rating on Spotify and Apple, and you can win yourself a really nice Stealth 2 driver.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice prize. Did we give away a Scotty too at one point? We gave away a Scotty. We're giving away another. We gave away the last model of Stealth 2, didn't we?
Yeah, we gave away we gave away a driver before, and we gave away a putter as well.
Yeah.
Sweet. We're just very charitable around here. You know, we like to give back to our fans.
That's right.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Let's get right to the good stuff. Matt Gannon, why don't you go over who you bet outright for the Valero Texas Open?
So card's not finished yet. Majority of it's done. I started up top with Siwoo Kim.
Love it.
He was my initial lean Sunday night when I was going through just the field. And I thought he was going to be a bit more popular than he was. I was kind of deciding between him or Chris Kirk up top. I fade the chart every single week. If someone's tipped, I do not bet him. It's worked out well for me thus far. So Chris Kirk was most tipped. Now I'm on Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim off of a seven strokes on approach at the Players. Last time he did that was before the Sony Open, and he won, or the tournament before the Sony Open, he ended up winning the Sony Open. So he's striking it well. He's got great course history. 5 out of 6 made cuts. He's got a fourth place finish here at Valero. So he's one of the best total drivers on this in this field too. Great around the green, and he's a gainer. He's a gainer in all four categories. I like Siwoo Kim. I mean, he's one of the favorites for a reason. Checks the boxes for a reason. I like Siwoo.
All right, Cabbage, you bet him too?
I did.
Excellent. I mean, make it all three, by the way.
Oh, all right. I love it. I mean, look, here's the deal. Like, that's such a good price for him in this event. Right. Like, I was surprised. I was like, all right, yeah. I was expecting him to be in the fucking teens based on how books are punishing everybody now. But yeah, I'm 100% on board with Siwoo.
Okay. All right, and just a couple, to piggyback a little bit off what you said, Matt, that T4 finish, by the way, you know, one of the concerns I have is like, all right, can he actually get up before the week before the Masters? Well, that T4 came before he, you know, had to go to the Masters, so I know he can contend in that week. At match play, he played very well in group play, gained in every single category in the strokes gained metrics according to Data Golf. So not only did he actually, you know, do well in his pod, he actually played well relative to everybody else too. So
he hit one bad round. That was against Cooch.
Yeah, exactly.
And Cooch must be the most annoying motherfucker to play match play with too. Like, he's got to be.
It's probably better for us that he didn't advance, because I feel like if he would have advanced, maybe made it to the Elite Eight, everyone would be on him this week. So maybe a little bit good for us that he didn't do as well as he did.
There you go. And I mean, like you said, really good around the green, really good bunker player too. That's going to be important this week, especially with maybe some windy conditions happening on Thursday and Friday. So I like it. All right. Who's the next guy you bet?
Aaron Rye. I missed that 75. Okay. 55. Long irons and wind. That is Aaron Rye. Don't have to talk anything else. He's playing decent. Played well at the Players Championship. Shitty field. Let's do it. Aaron Rye.
Yeah. Okay. Right there with you. Got him at the 75 number. And you said long irons and wind. Let's fucking go. It's a no-brainer.
Make it 3 for 3.
Oh, boy.
Everybody else here. All right. Exactly. Listen, I was going to bet him at Valspar, and then he withdrew. So I might as well just take the money I got back from my bookie at that point and just spend it again in Aaron Rye with a golf course. He's been, you know, he's had a decent finish here. You know, a couple of other decent finishes in Texas. Like you said, the iron play has been really good. Pretty good around the green as well. That's really important this week. Give me some Aaron Rye and maybe some windy conditions. Finally getting the big W on his resume here. So, okay. All right. So we're 3 for 3.
Oh, boy.
So let's keep going. Matt, who else you bet?
This next one, I doubt you guys are going to be on. I think he's dead, actually, because he's a little bit more popular than I think he should be. That's Ben Martin at 80-1.
I thought about it.
Yeah. I mean, a chalky Ben, it's not that he's chalky, but a popular Ben Martin can't go well. He's kind of trending really well in the ball striking categories, hasn't missed a cut since the Farmers, and he's got multiple top 10 finishes in that stretch. He's got 3 top 15s in his last 7 starts, so playing good golf, shitty field, and he's a guy who's contended in the last, year and a half.
Yeah.
I don't, love it. It's just a good number, whatever. Ben Martin, if you want.
I like it. So I was looking at him, and so I got some spots for some longer shots. But you said, is he fucking popular?
Oh, well, he's on the chart. He's on
the
chart.
On the Golf Difference chart?
Yeah, I was shocked. I was truly shocked.
I know our boy BK's on him. I saw him in his write-up this week.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean?
No, I'm just saying. No. Okay. Brian has followers, so he gets people to. Brian's a market mover, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yes, he is. He moves the needle. It's him and Tiger Woods. They move the needle.
Two people that move the needle, Brian Kershaw and Tiger Woods.
Exactly. So listen, I get with Ben Martin, the iron play has been really good for him. You know, pretty good in some of the proximity numbers or buckets I looked at this week too. You know, from less than 150, he's one of the leaders in this field. 150, 200, he's also really good in that range as well. A little weak around the green, but I get it though. That's an established name. You know, one of the things I noticed last 3 Valero Texas Open winners, Corey Connors, JJ Spahn, and Spieth. I mean, Spieth obviously is great, but you know, Spahn was struggling around the green, but his ball striking numbers were trending. He ended up winning. Same thing with Corey Connors. I mean, he's never known for around the green. he ended up winning. So the fact that Ben Martin's ball striking is actually trending up, struggling a little bit around the green, you know, maybe he can overcome that by just hitting a lot of greens and come up with a win. So yeah, I think it's a fine pick there. So yeah. All right, anybody else in your card?
I bet Will Gordon at 85-1. I don't really love it. Okay. I truly like Joseph Bramlett at 180-1 better than these honestly the 80-1 guys. I bet he's really long. He's longer than he is straight. So if he can have a decent off the tee week, he's set up. His mid iron range, his mid iron numbers are really, really good, and he's pretty good around the green. I wouldn't think he would be, but he's pretty good around the green. It's going to be windy. You're going to have to get up and down, and he's in decent form. So Joey Brams at 180-1, I bet.
Okay. I love it. So I just looked. I can get Ben Madden at 110.
Ooh. Where? Local?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I might tell you on that one.
Look, I mean, it's over 80-1 at that point. You know? Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Anybody's worth a say. I took a couple bums above 80-1.
Who'd you take?
So we agree on Siwoo. We agree on Aaron Rye.
Yep.
So I am going with Brendan Todd at 50-1 just because, I mean, he almost cashed me at Pebble Beach. Been really good at this event. Just checks a lot of boxes. In fact, they're really good around the green. Good short iron player. He's been okay lately. He's gained with his irons the last two tournaments. So, pretty good around the green lately as well. So the fact he's kind of trending a little bit with the ball striking coming in, I kind of like that here. So, 50-1 for Brendan Todd. I also got a 55-1 on Ryan Fox. I just think that, the way he's hitting the ball with the irons is too hard to ignore. He's a little up and down around the green, which is a little concerning, but he's a proven winner on the European tour, unlike a Thomas Dietrich, who's never won before.
Never wins.
Yeah. So you know what? I just decided to go with, he's been really good over here. He's held his own, like good finishes at Arnold Palmer. He was pretty good in match play. So, the fact he's actually doing it against legitimate competition, I think he can do very well. And he's not Australian, he's New Zealander. But, guys from that general region of the world tend to have done very well at this tournament. So I'll take Ryan Fox there. I also took a little Nick Taylor at 60-1.
Okay.
Yeah, he finished 10th of, what did he do? He was 10th at Valspar after, he missed out of Phoenix, but, he went a little bit of a slump after that, finished 10th at Valspar. The ball striking came back. He was okay in match play last week, but he was really good around the green, really good with his irons according to Data Golf. So the fact that he's been trending up around the green with his irons the last two tournaments, in fact, I've seen him contend recently, this year. I thought 60-1 on a guy who's won on the PGA Tour before, those have been the types of guys who've won these, if it wasn't a star player, it'd be one of these types of guys, who's won before, knows what it's like to be, in the mix. So I took Nick Taylor there, Aaron Rye, 75-1. I mentioned, I also took Alex Smalley at 75-1. I waited because there was that 110 that popped up for about an hour. So I wish I grabbed that, but hey, 75-1 and Alex Smalley. I made mention about this with Taylor Moore a couple weeks ago. Alex Smalley kind of seems in a similar boat where guys had a lot of solid finishes. I think he's a little better than what his number is showing. Really good history in Texas, though. So fourth at Houston last fall. He's got a 15th in Houston in 2015. Sixth at the Mexico Open, which is a Greg Norman as well. So a lot of, I'm a really good sucker for a lot of, course comps and all that shit. So I'll take Alex Smalley at 75-1. I am taking a little bit of Eric Cole at 110.
Yes, let's go.
So he reminds me a lot about what JJ Spahn was doing last year heading in. So JJ Spahn usually was a really good scrambler. He was so bad around the green heading in, but the ball striking was really good. So, and then finally he just ended up kind of turning around at Valero in it for a win. Eric Cole's kind of doing something similar. He had some really good around the green showings last fall and the beginning of this year. It really went away in Florida for whatever reason, but the iron play has been really solid pretty much all season long. Yep. So the fact that the ball striking has been trending up, I know he can do it around the green. He's got it in him. So in 110-1 for a guy who was second in Honda, maybe he can finally get it done here. And then I'm putting my money where my mouth is, 130-1 on David Lingmer.
Let's go.
I'm just going to keep going with it. I don't love the fact he's not very good around the green, but the ball striking has been so good with him. This is a guy who, when he was really good, was he was a top 40 player in the world. So, the fact he's playing so good recently, the iron play has been great. He has some up and down performances around the green, but recently he's had a couple of okay ones, so maybe he's got it in him. 130-1 for David Lingmer for a guy who's won a big event before on the PGA Tour. Been in the mix a lot back, you know, 5 years ago before he had injuries. Seems like he's healthy now. I'll go with that.
Love it. So, yeah, so, I mean, I'm with both you guys on Siwoo, both you guys on Rye. I'm with you on Fox. Steve, we talked about it. I'm sick of losing my fucking money on Dietrich. I'll pick another European loser to lose money on. And then I was on Andy's show last night. He likes Lingmuth too. And I was like, Steve's been talking to me about this fucking guy for what seems like a month. I'm just going to bet him. I was already on call for everything that you said. And it's Bermuda grass. So hopefully, you know, he can keep the putting up on it. Yeah, I mean, so I have room. So I think I'm going to add Matten and... Oh, I got Grayson Sagan, fucking 200-1.
God.
Because fucking why not?
What's he been up to?
Nothing. Kirshner's on him, too. Kirshner's been talking him up.
Oh, God.
God.
What's so the only reason I even know this is my buddy Jason played like a fucking like a pro-am with him, and he fucking like, he was like, he was an ex-college golfer, and he was like, what he can do with a golf ball is ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, whatever. He hasn't been doing anything.
But, his irons are trending up.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. It's not.
I have room for like a 25-1 guy. So I have, yeah. I can do that or bet a few bombs. I bet 250-1 Augusto Nunez. He is 19th in this field in total driving. Right. He is 20th in this field, 150 to 200 yards, and he's a gainer around the green. 250-1, check some boxes. He's made 3 out of his last 4 cuts. Sign me up for Augusto Nunez.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually something I saw a little bit, you know, last night down there. I don't have any bets on him, but you know, I don't hate that. I think that's a good flyer right there.
Yeah, 250. And then I took Tano Goya, 350-1. So
all right,
Jesus Christ.
He's made 6 out of his last 7 cuts. He's really, really good off the tee. He struggles with those middle irons a bit, but he's a gainer around the green, and he's an absolute cut maker. He was like in the mix through 36 holes at the Farmers, so
yeah,
350-1.
Yeah, he's a great bunker player too. He's actually one of the better bunker players I have in this field.
What was his fucking name? Because he sounds like a DK player.
Tano Goya.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a DK player for sure.
Or Estanislao Goya, if you want to be really full with it and proper with it.
You've seen me try to read soccer ads. I'm not going to try to do anything.
Just call him Tano, baby.
So I'm betting 2 Argentinians this week.
Gonna come through with me. And not Griot.
I bet Griot last week. He made like a 9 on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the Griot experience.
Oh, jinx. Yeah. We're so cute.
We are cute. we've had a lot of money on Griot before, and it's never worked out.
It's never worked out.
No, it hasn't. So
never.
All right, you got any other outrights here, or that's it?
No, yeah, that's it for now. I'm probably gonna have finalized for my shows tomorrow. I got 2 shows to record by tomorrow. They'll be on Golf Gambling Podcast. If you don't follow, which you do if you're watching this. So yeah, my finalized card will be out tomorrow, but I got some room left. But that's
join us on Cole, dude. I'm telling you, I got a feeling about this, dude.
On Cole, I don't know if I could chase an Eric Cole sweat. I don't know if I could do that, but I don't hate it. I don't hate it. All right. I mean, he lives around the corner from me, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. He does live right down there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Why don't we take another break and then we'll break down the rest of the betting card.
All right, listen, we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy continues their March Madness College Pick'em. It is a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is already busted. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props and great NBA and NHL daily games. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And go follow us on Twitter. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel, all that good stuff, man. And we're giving away a fucking stealth too. I mean, just do it for that. And then other than that, I'll let Steve talk to you about Pipe of Golf.
Yeah, sure. So, we got one more big snowstorm coming our way in New York.
That's so gross.
Right now. Prolong the golf season for me before. And it's actually a really good thing, by the way, that Oak Hill got started on their crap, you know, all their infrastructure last fall, because they would be woefully behind and we probably would not have the PGA. But that, I digress, though. But anyways, I'm getting ready for golf season and I'm going to use Piper golf balls this year to kind of help me, you know, lower my scores. And, you know, they got a handy chart on their website. It helps you, you know, basically whatever handicap you are, you can choose a particular golf ball for you. They got 4 lines of golf balls, all with different various, differences to them to help your game. But what's really going to help me, though, is that they're all really good around the green. They add a little extra spin to help you control the ball and your chip shots. That's really how you're going to lower your scores. You can go to the driving range. You can go, hit your irons, hit your driver all you want. But the quickest way to lower your score, get a hold of your scrambling, get a hold of your around the green game, and Piper Golf Balls can do it for you. So go to piper.golf/GGP. You'll get 10% off your first order using promo code GGP. You can also opt to subscribe or receive scheduled shipments of golf balls at a 50% discount. And there's free shipping on any orders over $50. So go to piper.golf/GGP and improve your game today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Oh, all right. Where do you want to go next?
Well, why don't we go with Matt? You got any matchups?
I don't got any matchups, but I like Chris Kirk top 10.
Okay.
Just based off what I was saying earlier, how I was kind of deciding between Kirk or Siwoo. He's got 8 starts here. 3 of them are top 10, and he's kind of playing really good golf right now. Obviously, he won that Honda Elite middle iron and wedge player, and he's a gainer across the board. 3 top fives in his last 7 starts. Yeah. Pretty straightforward, and it's a good number. I see plus 350 on Chris Kirk top 10.
Yeah, okay. I like it.
Yeah, I took him top 20 at plus 140. Basically the same exact reasons. If I can get, decent plus money on the top 20, I'm just going to opt for that for the 10 positional points there. Yeah. For all the reasons you said, really good at this golf course, really good with his irons, has hit the ball historically very well this event too. Obviously really good around the green. After his win, he kind of had a little bit of a rough spot, but
That's fair.
Yeah, at match play, he was T52 finish, but his ball striking was really good. He actually lost around the green with his putting, so I don't think it's going to happen 2 weeks in a row. In fact, he got his ball striking back last week in Austin. Maybe he had a little bit of a bounce back. So top 20 on Chris Kirk, reasonable expectation for that. So yeah, I'm on board with that top 10 there.
I'm on the top 20 with Kirk as well.
Okay. There you go. What are positionals you got?
Oh, Chris Kirk right there. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Shout out to our boy Cam Kerr, man. He made that, right?
Cam Kerr. Yeah, there Cam made go. That. So I think he's doing them for like every outright. You can hit him up if you want him. Makes it pretty simply, but he sent this to me. It looks awesome.
Is Chris Kirk holding a gun up to you right there? And so you better
yes, that is
right
what
now.
He's holding.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No, I got no other positionals, though.
Okay.
Right, what do you got?
So I only got a handful of top 20s. I usually wait to kind of see where I want to go. But so I got Rye. Top 20. I had to take Ricky top 20 just in case he fucking wins. Like, I don't want to be not part of being happy for him because I lost an outright. Like, if one of my guys is going for him, I can at least, be like, all right, at least I had a little money on the top 20. Davis Riley, the number's too short for the outright, but I'll take him top 20.
You hate Davis Riley.
I know. You made a good case for him.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even have Davis Riley in my card.
We were talking about him last night on DFS. I was like, I can see that.
Okay.
His number got steamed to hell. It went from like fucking 40 to like 25.
All right. Well, stay tuned for tomorrow. I might find a place for that guy. So
okay.
Stay
tuned. And then I'm taking Benny Ann just because I want to take him. And he's really good around the green. I like him. And that's why we're going to fucking take him. He's good around the green. It's a good number. It was like plus 375, but I'm waiting for the other book to post. To see if I can get a better number, but plus 375 for a top 20 on Benny Ann. He's really good around the green, so I'll take my chances.
All right, so we share a couple of positionals, and I also backed up a couple of my outrights with positionals too. So we share a position on Aaron Rye. I got him top 30 though at plus 140 though. Give me a little bit, 10 more points, but plus 140, I'll take that. We also have a Ben on top 40 plus 160. Actually,
nice.
A pretty good price considering the pedigree of this guy.
Yeah.
Really good around the green. So I'll take that. Yep. I also put a top 40 bet on Alex Smalley plus 140 after I bet him outright, and also on Eric Cole top 40 plus 175. I thought that was a pretty good price considering how he's been playing so far, and he was kind of down there with a bunch of bums at that price. Yep. So take that. All right. So some other ones I haven't talked about tonight. Look, this sounds probably pretty chalky, but Matt Kuchar in a Texas golf course, especially at this place, just kind of just screams just taking for a top 20 at plus 150. Really good finishes at Valero, finished second last year. really good history in Texas. He's been playing really well at his golf courses this year too. Like at Wylie, he played well. At Genesis, he's always had a good record there. He played well there. And then last week at Austin, he played really well. So, and he's trying to get into the Masters. Everybody's talking about Ricky wants to get in the Masters. Matt Kuchar needs a win in order to get to the Masters. He does have a lot of opportunities left. I think he's going to come out, be really good this week. Didn't get there the outright, but top 20 plus 150. I took that. Okay. I also took a top 30 on Matt Wallace at plus 150. So he doesn't have his exemption into the Masters next week. Just hitting the ball really good. And I think he's going to come out to this golf course where he's done well before and to try and get that last minute exemption to go to the Masters. So top 30 on him plus 140. And then you know what? I've noticed that a certain guy who everybody likes to criticize, you know, he's had a good couple weeks.
Yeah,
he's hot. He's hot.
He is hot. And I can get a Cam Davis reasonable expectation just in case he kind of cools off a little bit. But I get Cam Davis top 30 plus 140. How well he's been playing recently. The fact that, you know, Australians have done well at this event. Really good bunker player, really good around the green. Now, his irons haven't been all that good, and they weren't good at match play last week either, so that's a little concerning, but everything else kind of looks good with him. I think he's going to do that. So top 30 of Cam Davis plus 140. And then a couple other guys. Robbie Shelton, top 40 plus 140. I'm a little worried that the bubble might be bursting on him. He's going to go back to what he was in 2020. But listen, the iron play is really good. Really good scrambler as well. He has a decent finisher back in 2017. I get top 40 of him plus 140. And yeah, that's it. So a lot of positional.
Is that all?
Steve? That's it.
That's all.
That's it. But you know what? Listen, I like all the prices I got. I just hit it outright. So I got cash.
Yeah, man.
So why not? Why don't we play with a little bit with it?
I like it.
Okay. All right. Cabra, you got any matchups?
Yeah. You know, what's funny. I can't find a fucking Decky matchup anywhere. The book's like, I am not hanging this. Like I literally cannot. Yeah. I cannot find one. All right. Somebody just said, Pearson Cootie is 150-1, played the course a lot in college golf.
He is a Texan. Is that new giant Darren Waller?
No, Walker.
You blind bastard.
I thought it's going to be like a Kerr buddy because Kerr is fucking obsessed with Pearson Cootie. So I couldn't find a Hideki matchup anywhere. So I really wanted to do that. But I was able to find Connors over Hatton at plus 135.
Okay.
Obviously, good course history here with Connors. Played really well at the match play. Just ran into the buzzsaw. That was Cam Young, and then Hatton. If he really is injured, then yeah, this is a really good price, and I will take it. Especially because I always like to take some of the top guys in every tournament as a matchup, just to have a nice sweat. And if I'm getting decent plus money on it, I'm taking that. I'm taking JJ Spahn over Alex Noren because Alex Noren fucking stinks.
I felt like that's a shot at me there.
No, it's not. Spahn, another guy, played really well in match play. Clearly likes this course. Won here last year. He's not going to repeat, but I like him over that bum Noren. I took Rye over mouth breather Bo Hostler. I think Rye can get him. Hostler has no fucking form right now. I know he's good at this course. I do not give a shit. Just for fun, I took Cole over Stevens. That I got plus money. I was like, what? Somebody tell me what Stevens did other than Corrales lately. What has he done other than Corrales?
Numbers are solid.
His numbers are solid. I don't give a shit. I like the guy outright. I'm taking him with plus money in a matchup about a guy I know nothing about.
All right. So
I don't recommend tailing that one. That's
so Sam cool. Stevens does really good when no one's watching. 15th to Puerto Rico, third to Corrales, 13th at Farmers. That's not bad. The iron plays when he's had shot like him has alternated between good week, bad week. So he just had measured a good week at Valspar. So bad week coming up pretty soon for him. But you know what? Hey,
nope.
Is what it is. So as everyone knows, I don't bet matchups. They are usually losers, so usually go the opposite of what I'm saying here. But I still give them on the show. I also found something similar to your Corey Connors Hatton matchup. Ricky Fowler plus 135 over Hatton. I just think that getting 135 for Fowler, who's playing well against Hatton, is just a little too steep, so just blindly taking that one. Maybe Hatton is hurt. Although I do think if Hatton really isn't, he's full bore. I mean, he might take all our money this week.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. It's just a matchup.
Yeah, I mean, looking at his career in Norman courses, he eats up the Jumeirah Estates course. He's got four runner-up finishes there. So
really,
that's a little dangerous. I mean, considering the 18th hole at Jumeirah is basically the same hole at this place. not awesome. Fun. But all right. So you know what? I found a matchup with Bo Hossler that you're fading. But you know what? It's against another bum. It's against Patton Kizzire. Maybe I'm just so mad about what happened last year. I took all my money. I think the tiebreaker for me is that Bo Hossler is really good around the green and Patton Kizzire isn't.
Yeah, it's fine.
Really, and I just think Patton Kizzire stinks. So yeah. Bo Hossler minus 110 over him. And then another pillow fight. How about Kevin Streelman plus 100 over Patrick Rogers? Kevin Streelman finally got a top 30 finish last week after a couple, you know, bad performances in a row. Really good at this track in his career. And then Patrick Rogers just has been very good at this track before.
Patrick Rogers missed the cut last week at Corrales.
Yeah, that's not great.
That's not great, Bob.
It wasn't now. Close either. That was ugly.
Not great, Bob. Not
yep. Great. So take Kevin Streelman plus 100 over Patrick Rogers.
I got a fun little miss cut bet, which they never post these things other than majors. So I was kind of weird. Weirded out. They didn't post the decky, obviously. But Hatton is fucking 4-1 to miss the cut. So I sprinkled a little bit on that. But why not?
He's either going to miss the cut or finish T3.
Yeah. So whatever. Just sprinkle a little bit. Just for fun.
I think it's a good bet.
Nope. And he could come out and stink it up on Thursday. Do not cash that bet yet because he scrambles his ass off when he does that typically and still somehow makes the cut on Friday. As somebody who has had money on Hatton on many, many events.
Yes.
So.
All right. So a couple of comments we have in here. We'll talk about Cousin Mush asked about Christian Bezadenhout. Well, I'm the Bezadenhout apologist. So you're going to go on mute, sir.
Finally.
So his irons play has actually been pretty good over the last two tournaments. You know, he was pretty good at players. He actually hit the ball okay at match play, despite the fact that he was, I think, 0-3. His problems last week were around the green and putting at Austin, so I don't think that's really going to happen 2 weeks in a row with him. You know, he's got a 15th place finish in Mayakoba. He's got, I think, a 15th place finish in Houston. So, you know, playing good in Texas, playing good at some other Greg Normans. I actually don't mind Bezadenhout this week. The problem is he always seems to burn me whenever I'm on him, so that's why he's nowhere near my betting cards.
Same. I love him too.
Yeah.
At a macro level. I just love him.
Yeah. Cameron Kerr, he doesn't like the Longhorns. He's an Aggie. He's more of a Sam Bennett guy. But
I'm saying he loves Cody. Pearson Cody. He loves him.
I know he does. But listen,
that's what I was talking about.
He's got more of a affinity for Sam Bennett, who famously stiffed us on appearing on this podcast a lot of times. So we're not Sam Bennett forever. People. But he is going to be in the Masters next week, though. So that'll be interesting to watch. He is. Let's see. You know, we got another guy who's going to bet Siwoo. We agree. We all bet him. Somebody's betting Smalley over Højgaard at plus 100. I actually agree with that. I mean, Nikolai Højgaard, I think he's the worst of the Højgaard twins, even though he's done pretty
still
well.
Good.
Pretty good, but he's a little more volatile than his brother. And it was Rasmus last year that actually did well, not Nikolai. So I like Smalley. And then
where's Rasmus this week?
Rasmus has been taking a month off. I don't know where he is. I don't know.
Nice.
It must be nice.
Must be nice.
All right. Well, I think that concludes. Unless
Liv.
Matt. Yeah, let's go to Liv. I don't have any bets, so I'll just listen to you guys.
All right. So, Matt, you're going to the Liv event for at least a day, right?
I will be there on Saturday. Boots will be on ground 100%. So.
Yeah. Do you know this golf course at all?
No.
No one does.
Watch YouTube videos.
It's your prototypical Florida resort course, man.
Yeah, like, it's pretty straightforward.
These guys are going to fucking demolish this thing.
Yeah.
Like, demolish it.
That's kind of what I got out of it from watching the YouTube videos.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's
par 72, not overly long.
No.
I started my card with Neiman at 12-1.
I get
basically a home game for him. Lives up in Jupiter.
Yeah.
So he's not far, and he played okay at the first event, pretty bad last week, and none of the guys at the top have been playing great golf. Yeah. And I feel like out of the live guys at the top, the Neimans, the Cams, the DJs, like I feel like they're all kind of trending to play in the Masters somewhat, but I feel like Neiman cares the most maybe because he's younger. I don't know. That could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
And then I went with Thomas Peters. I'm betting Thomas Peters every week in live, at least for the first 10 weeks, solely because of like a narrative vengeance thing. He was pissed he didn't get into the Genesis Fields. He was like, I'm gonna win LIV. Yeah. And then Bryson DeChambeau 55-1, stupid number. I was certain that Bryson DeChambeau would win a green jacket in his career. It's that time of year. Maybe he's trying to gear up for that. He's not gonna win next week, but maybe he's gearing up for that. So 55-1, I'll run it out. And yeah, that's it.
All right, so I'm with you. I'm with you on Peters. Love that. Same reason. Just a guy I constantly rooted for, and the Liv took a bunch of my guys.
Yeah,
Steve texted me when Herbert was playing. He's like, if they take the ear, you're gonna fucking quit, aren't you? Like, if they take Herbert, like, I don't think Liv's gonna be around long enough to take any more of my guys. Knock on wood. But yeah,
you're a Herbert guy.
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
I love him.
Okay.
Ever since you saw the headshot of him, he's just seriously, that's all that guy.
That's all it took.
And that's the only reason why he bet him at Bermuda that 1 year too. He just saw the guy. He's like, I gotta bet on the guy with that messed up ear.
He's got to be your guy.
Exactly.
And it's, he's his caddy too.
Oh, his caddy's the man.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's a big dude, man. I didn't realize, like, he's kind of jacked, man.
Yeah.
Like when I saw him in person, I was like, holy shit, you're way bigger than I thought you were. Yeah, and so I always root for Herbert, man. That's my guy.
Yeah.
And then I took Usti at fucking 28. Like,
home game for him, too.
He's a home game for him. Like, whatever. Like, easy fucking course. Like, I imagine, like, these are the courses that he practices on.
He went to a playoff last week or last event.
Yep. Yeah, so why not? 28? Like, yeah, fine. Give me 28 on Usti. Like, I used to bet Louis 28s in fucking PGA events. Why wouldn't I do it in a live event? So that's it. Those are my two.
Okay. I mean, look, I haven't looked too deeply in this event, but I know that the last two events we had Danny Lee winning and Charles Howell the third winning. I have a feeling that I think one of the bigger names are going to win, the guys like who are going to play the match next year.
Because
it seems like they got to start getting their game in shape. Like Cam Smith has been awful the first two events. Dustin Johnson has been awful the first two events. Neiman wasn't very good the last two events after he had like a really good Middle East swing.
Yeah.
So it seems like I think one of those guys probably going to show a little better performance, I think.
That's why I bet Neiman out of the three, because they're all similar odds, but I just feel like Neiman's the closest to, like, playing the best.
I looked at Neiman at 12 because I forgot how much I liked him until I swing up. What the hell is it called? No swing?
Full swing.
Full swing. Until I saw him in that, and I forgot how gorgeous his fucking swing was. It's so fucking pretty. It's like...
It.
Maybe I'll add that. Maybe
I hope Liv folds. We get Joaquin Neiman back on the PGA Tour because I've always had a soft spot for that guy too.
Me too.
That's one of my boys.
Yeah.
So all right. I guess while we round back to the Masters, Matt, do you have any? Have you put any bets down at all?
No bets. Sometimes you get too carried away with sometimes futures. Then you can't build the card you want to build somewhat because sometimes you don't know how guys are going to be trending. And come Monday, Tuesday, odds will drift. It happens year after year. No, all these guys aren't going to be under 20-1. I'm just going to be patient. I'll start my card come Sunday afternoon, Monday. So no one really. Maybe Cantlay, but we'll see. I haven't really been gotten there yet.
Yeah, I used to be one of those guys that would start hunting like Masters odds like at Riviera. And think like, okay, this guy's 50-1. He's going to be 30 by the time he gets there. It's like, all right, I'm clogging up my car with guys I don't really actually want to bet. And I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just going to bet a little more units. If I still want to bet him at 30, I'll just bet a little more at that point.
Right.
So
you
got
to wait to bet the guys you want to bet. I wouldn't force anything now if you don't love it.
Yeah, I'd rather be flexible.
I, in general, hate fucking futures bets because I feel like I just get myself in trouble with them. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like I'll open up. I'm like, I already have fucking six guys bet for the open. Like, because you forget about them. You know what I mean?
You forget.
It's like,
what did we do? Didn't we get Hatton at like 70-1 to win the open a couple years ago? And then he was like 75-1 at that point.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Didn't work out for us.
No, it did not.
All right. Well, Matt, thanks for appearing on our show. Why don't you tell everybody where we can find you?
That at right there at Matt Gannon. Follow me. Follow Sports Gambling Podcast Network, Golf Gambling Podcast. You'll catch me on there weekly as these guys as well. So thank you for having me. Always a good time.
You got a new thing too. Pimp that too, right?
Oh yeah, Gen F Media. Follow that. We're doing podcasts all the time. Golf stuff, a bunch of stuff. More like social content, not just sports. It's gonna be a cool thing. Like talking about movies, just everything. Follow it. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it.
All right, nice. Cool.
That's a podcast, you said?
It's a new sports media / lifestyle company with Ben Koukanis. Not sure if you ever know him. He ran it. He brought me over from Fantasy Points, and it's gonna be. I'm like head of content there, doing a bunch, not only sports content, like sports and like pop culture stuff too. It's gonna be cool.
How come I haven't got a fucking invite yet? What the hell, Matt? What's going on?
It's been a week and a half. It's been a week and a half. Don't worry. You're coming, Capper.
All right. Well, we appreciate being on our team, too. You put out a lot of great content. You're a hard worker, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, and check out DFS Players. I know this is the betting show, but DFS Players, check out his 6K article. It's fucking super sharp, man. I like it a lot. He helps me dumpster dive, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Capper, you got anything else?
Nope, that's it, baby. You got anything?
No, that's it. We got a big week for the Masters coming up. I have a lot of work to do between now and Sunday, getting caught up with all the changes that have been made to Augusta National, looking at the weather report and seeing how scoring is. Preview. I think guys are going to rip this place up this year. Anytime it's warm and muggy and no wind, birdies are plentiful. So it's going to be a little different Masters than what we've seen the last couple of years. So stay tuned.
Yeah, like it. All right, well, listen, go find Steve on our Discord channel. You can follow me on Twitter @Boston_Capper. Go rate, review, all the good shit. Next week, Masters, obviously, pumping out a ton of content. We'll have Pamela Maldonado from Yahoo Sportsbook on for the betting show. We're going to have Bearhoff on for the DFS. I'm sure we'll do a show with the Mothership. And, other than that, fucking let's fatten these fucking bankrolls before Masters week. Let's fucking go.